Have you ever felt like you're doing everything right with your health, only to have your health not necessarily improve? You're doing clean diet, taking supplements, going to the doctor, doing therapy, but something isn't shifting. What we don't see consciously or accept in ourselves often will show up in the body. Today on Ask Dr. Gill, I want to talk about the concept of shadow and how it can affect our health and what you can do about it. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about shadow again. We talked a little bit about it last week, and I want to kind of bring more of the concepts of this into the discussion, because I do think this is a really important aspect in terms of our health and our well-being, and not just our mental health, but also our physical health. And the concept of shadow, in case you didn't listen to the previous podcast, comes from a psychiatrist named Carl Jung, who lived in the first half of the 20th century. And he introduced this concept not so much about things that are bad. It's things that we've disowned about ourselves or repressed. We usually judge them as unacceptable. Now, sometimes things that are in our shadow are actually things that are socially accepted. It's not just things that are not accepted within society. For example, I've known people who've been amazing artists who have not been able to accept that about themselves for whatever reason. And the reasons in this particular case don't matter. It did matter for them trying to integrate that aspect back into themselves. But it's generally shadow is something that's either unlived, unexpressed, or something that's forbidden about some aspect of yourself. And, you know, a few examples are anger in people who identify as nice. That's a big one. And by the way, and I'll talk more about that, because there's actually keynotes in homeopathy related to that particular topic because it affects health so much. So people are taught to be small, vulnerability in people who are taught to be strong. Shadow forms generally arise not because of pathology necessarily, but it was a survival mechanism. And for example, people who don't express anger, who identify as nice, they might have grown up in a household where expressing anger was dangerous, and or would have escalated things to a point where they wouldn't have felt safe. So they learn not to be angry. And so that is part of the aspect of this that I think is important. Now, what happens is, and this is the bridge, is that there's a cost to the nervous system for that suppression. And chronic nervous system activation or deactivation is what I would say Jung and other psychologists talk about in terms of suppression. It definitely affects our physiology. It can increase sympathetic tone. It can elevate cortisol. It can reduce our vagal tone and thereby impact our ability for rest digest, the parasympathetic side of our body. And probably, I would say 90%, if not more, of the patients I work with are dealing with imbalance in their sympathetic and parasympathetic system. And it's not all, by the way, related to shadow, but I bring this up because I've had patients who have been doing what is necessary for their health and then not having the results that they want. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating for the patient. It's frustrating for me. And this is part of the reason why I'm bringing this up is that I want to give people as many potential tools to help themselves so that they can start to feel better. So, and this is the key thing. The body pays a price for what the psyche refuses to feel. Because if you continually suppress something, that requires physical energy. And it can be very, very uncomfortable for it to come up, for sure. But keeping it down has a higher cost long term than letting it arise. And this is where psychotherapy actually can be really, really helpful. And this is where depth psychology is really helpful, because it allows one to kind of explore this in a container that is safe and where there isn't judgment from somebody else. What are some of the patterns that I've seen in terms of how it affects the body? Well, there are common health issues that show up with particular repression aspects. So, for example, anger, when anger is repressed, we often see TMJ, we see hypertension, autoimmunity, particularly if the anger is turned inward, migraines. This, we see all of those things we see a lot. It's very common in caregivers and healers. Now, I do want to make a caveat here before I go further. The caveat I want to make is that just because this is happening, and even if it's from something that you're repressing, I don't want people to blame themselves or anybody else for their symptoms. And because that judgment just perpetuates the problem. This is not about blame. This is about awareness. And I think it's important to understand it's not a pathology. Just because you have something that you've repressed, it's not a pathological state. It's, like I said in the beginning of the show, it's more about what was the behavior pattern that arose that led to the highest chance of survival. And I think when you start to understand that for yourself, you can start to have compassion for the child that you were, and that may still live inside you, that was trying to figure out a way to navigate something that was uncomfortable. And this isn't to blame parents, because sometimes it's not related to the parents. It's related to something outside of the home. And parents generally are doing the best that they can. So it's really about how do we bring awareness to the situation and then transform it as a result of that. So now, other patterns here that show up: suppressed grief. We see chronic fatigue, immune dysfunction, depression, resistant treatment. I will make a point here. Grief is not depression. Grief is grief. Depression is depression. Depression often is repressed anger. Grief is a feeling of loss. And we often, because of that, or if it's something that's not expressed or recognized, it will lead to physical patterns that might look like depression, but it's not the same thing necessarily. So disowned needs and boundaries, this I actually definitely see with gut issues. There's also people-pleasing patterns. With the biotherapeutic drainage, one of the ways that we do treatment is by helping people learn how to deal with their boundary issues. And it's both, I'll say bioenergetic as well as psychological, right? Because everything that happens in the body is happening at an energy level first. It doesn't just show up one day. There's something that is there before that then gets sort of embossed in our systems, if you will. And finally, shadow power, authority issues, anxiety, insomnia, never enough achievement cycles. Those are sort of some of the patterns that I see from a big picture. Now, I do want to say, and I'll use migraines as an example, just because you have migraines doesn't mean that you have repressed anger issues. And it's not necessarily a one-to-one correlation. It's a it 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 kind of is more complicated than that. But I'm bringing this up so that you can start to think about things in a way that might be different than how you've been thinking about them. And I think that part of the challenge is knowing where the psychological piece ends and the physical piece begins, right? You know, and I'll use migraines as an example. If you had a head injury, say, when you were a kid and then started having migraines, that is a different cause than having repressed anger. And there may not be a psychological component to this, right? There might be. And it may be that the head injury allowed for the repressed anger to go down the direction of migraines. These are questions we have no way of answering. And part of the challenge when we're dealing with a system, and I'm talking about the medical system, that basically wants double-blind, placebo-controlled studies for everything, is that you're missing kind of understanding more subtle situations and causes in the physical and psychological realms of the body. And so I'm not saying that that needs to be thrown away. I'm just saying that it needs to include other ways of looking at things and understanding it. And by the way, I've had patients who've gone too far down this road too. You know, they kind of look at, well, is this symptom coming from something that happened to me when I was three? And they kind of keep digging for these things. That can be disruptive as well to the body. And I think ultimately it's going to come back to how do we feel this in our nervous system? So I'm going to take a quick break, and at the other end, we're going to continue talking more about this. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And before we jump back into the topic of shadow and how it affects the body, I want to just remind you that if you have any questions or comments, feel free to send me an email at info@askdrgill.com, askdrgill.com. And if you like the show, definitely like it and whatever platform you're listening to. And if you want to leave a nice comment, I appreciate that as well. So today we're talking about shadow, and I wanted to mention the concept of projection, which I talked about last time, but I'm going to mention it again. Projection is this idea of when we have something inside of us that we don't like, we don't see it in ourselves, but we'll see it in others. And the purpose and why I bring this up is that oftentimes, if you can see how you're doing that in others, you know, with others, you can begin to see what's happening within yourself. So an example of this is if you get irritated with others because they stop in the middle of the street and block the sidewalk, just as a quick example, Well, maybe that you do that same behavior and you don't realize that you're doing it, right? Anytime you have strong emotional reactions to something, any kind of repeating relationship conflicts. In other words, maybe you're having the same argument or type of argument with different people. And part of the thing about projection is this keeps your nervous system reactive and probably on high vigilance. So this emotional state is actually creating an inflammatory process, right? It's like, as a simple example, if the news stresses you out and you keep watching the news, that is having a negative impact on your nervous system. And I think that the wiser choice here is to begin to pull away from that experience so that your system can calm down. And that way, your body can heal. What's interesting about this, and why I bring this up, and is that understanding shadow is not necessarily integrating it. And this is why insight alone doesn't heal the body. Integration requires safety, a safe feeling in the nervous system. It requires that you embody something, not just think about it. And I don't want to say that talk therapy isn't helpful, because I think talk therapy is very helpful. I think what's helpful along with that is a deeper understanding. And so sometimes what I find is that healing happens in the space between, say, sessions, right? It's not necessarily a particular session that leads to healing. It's the potentially, and I'll use this as an example, an insight that one has, and then sitting with that, giving that space for whatever that insight is to sort of filter through the nervous system, through the body. As an example, psychedelic assisted therapy, which I've talked about on the show, and I'm actually a big proponent of, I think that what I've seen in terms of psychedelics is people are good at doing the psychedelics, and they're not so good at the therapy side of it, right? And psychedelics have a strong potential to open things in our system and help us see things differently. But unless you sit with that and give that space, it doesn't necessarily change anything. And so shadow integration as a healing process is really, really important, I think, in terms of physical and mental healing. So it's, and let me just say this again, it's about empowerment without blame. Like, integration requires us to allow, to name, to metabolize whatever's there. And some of that, by the way, is anabolic, meaning we're destroying it. Like, we're digesting it, literally, like digesting our psyche in a sense. And that's part of the integration. But there's also a catabolic process, meaning we're integrating it into ourselves too. And this actually requires a lot of compassion-based inquiry. It requires vulnerability. It requires awareness, somatic awareness. These are really important. And this is a lot of what I do with different people as part of my work. And, you know, the healing, this type of healing helps accelerate nervous system healing. It helps the nervous system sort of become more settled. And I think it's also important in terms of reframing health struggles, because it also helps us remove some of the shame, you know. And this is the thing that I see a lot with clients, is that there's almost a shame in reporting symptoms. because they view symptoms as a failure, and they're not. They're just signals. It's not that the body is broken, it's that it's communicating to us. And so shadow work is about listening to what's going on, not fixing it. And I will invite you to use this as part of your process, is to ask yourself, where is the symptom coming from? Now, it may be coming from something physical, right? For example, you might have a headache, and it could be that you're just dehydrated. But it could be that there's something that bothered you from something you read earlier in the day, as an example, or something reminded you of something that you didn't want to look at in yourself. And this process takes time. I will tell you that. It's not something that you can necessarily do on the go. And so if you can provide time for yourself for reflection, this is, I think, really, really important. And some of the questions you can ask yourself is, what part of me might be asking for expression? And, or what do I judge in myself or others that I need to look at? Notice these patterns without judgment, with compassion. And I think that this is really, really important in terms of helping physical ailments also heal. So I, just as a reminder, I have a workshop coming up, and I think I'm going to be doing it at the beginning of February at this point. It's either going to be the end of January or the beginning of February. And we're going to talk about health stories. And this is a lot of the work that we'll potentially be doing in the workshop. It's probably going to be 2 to 3 hours, somewhere in that time frame. And you can check it out on my website. I have a page up there. I'm going to be changing the content a little bit. But I think that this is an opportunity to begin to sort of explore some of these ideas for yourself and understand how our stories change how we are, our physiology is working. So that's what I have for you today. And if you have any questions or comment, like I said, check out my website, askdrgill.com. That's askdrgill.com. Thanks so much for joining me. Happy New Year. I wish you all a happy and healthy New Year.